WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There was a court hearing today over the deportation of hundreds of migrants over the weekend. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
The Trump administration is arguing that because these deportation flights were in the air and over international waters and not over U.S. airspace, U.S. courts did not have jurisdiction.
Two legal groups want Trump officials to explain under oath whether they violated the judge's order to stop the deportations. President Trump says the John F. Kennedy assassination files will be released tomorrow.
It's many pages. Is it 80,000 pages? Approximately 80,000 pages. So it's a lot of stuff. And you'll make your own determination.
And a White House warning today to Iran about the Houthi rebels in Yemen.
Every shot fired by the Houthis will be looked upon from this point forward as being a shot fired from the weapons and leadership of Iran.
The Pentagon says U.S. strikes against the Houthis will be relentless. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that they can help protect rare plants and endangered animals through their income tax forms. According to a press release, Wisconsinites can make a donation to the DNR's Endangered Resources Fund on their tax forms, with the donations being matched and going directly to conservation efforts. Officials say there are over 400 wildlife species and 300 plant species in the state that are either endangered, threatened, or seeing population decline. A recent report found Wisconsin's roadways ranked 26th in overall road cost effectiveness and condition this year. According to the annual highway report from the Reason Foundation, the state jumped 7 spots in the rankings, which cover road and bridge safety, pavement quality, and cost effectiveness. Among the individual categories ranked, Wisconsin finished 7th in rural fatalities and 10th in urban and other fatalities. The state's worst category was urban arterial pavement condition, where it ranked 44th in the country. The Village of Fairchild will look to the community to decide how it will fund a new full-time police officer position. The department has been made up of part-time officers for years due to a constrained budget situation, and village officials have already decided that there will be a full-time officer again. The referendum will determine whether that position will be funded by taxpayers or if the village will need to seek an operated loan that would require interest payments down the line. The referendum will appear on the April 1st election ballot. The city of Prescott voted to approve over $1.5 million in borrowing after bids for the riverfront project came in lower than expected. The city is planning to replace the remaining streetlights during Phase 2 of the riverfront project, with the total cost of materials and installation coming in at around $105,000. Additionally, officials say the city has received an AA3 rating from Moody's Investment Services, which led to receiving more competitive bids for the project and lowering the interest rate on financing. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks get rolled by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to one of the top teams in the NBA, the Thunder. The final score, 121-105. How did the Thunder control the game? Doc Rivers.
They were so much more physical. They definitely came in with intentions tonight and played that way. They played great tonight.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers drew the number 3 seed. They open the NCAA tournament this Thursday in Denver at the Ball Arena, home of the Denver Nuggets. They'll play the number 14 seed, Montana Grizzlies. Marquette is going to the dance again, headed to Cleveland to face New Mexico Friday night.
Excited to be here, happy to be here, and just, you know, excited to see our name called, because it's not particularly like common for a score, a player, a group of guys to go to the tournament for 4 years. We've actually like did the percentage research, and it's like the chance of going to the tournament 4 straight years is like 0.1%.
That's Marquette guard Stevie Mitchell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A winter storm watch has been posted late Tuesday night through Wednesday for some heavy snowfall. For tonight, partly cloudy, 31. Tuesday, partly sunny, 55. Rain changing to snow Tuesday night and the winds increase, a low of 33. Heavy snow by Wednesday.
Right now, it's 58. Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. I mean, it's just all over the world. I mean,
you have to remember Margaret Thatcher, they had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wilder.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Peach Wabba.
Welcome, welcome. It's time for Nightlight, folks. We made it through the weekend, and now the fun truly begins, as we can talk about some of the more fun things in life that take you away from work, politics, sitting in traffic, arguing with family, whatever it may be. Let's kick back and chill out tonight and enjoy Monday in all its glory. Wherever you're joining me from in Wisconsin tonight, it is great to have you. Check us out on the app. Check us out on radio throughout the state as we broadcast live from downtown Green Bay. Conrad, how can people watch the radio? That's important.
Yeah. If you want to go to Facebook, Nightlight with Peach Wabba, WGBW, or WISS. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
Join us any way you can, but just join us. I guess it's pointless to say that because you've already joined us if you're hearing that. But give us a like or a follow while you're at it. We love to get likes and follows. And we're supposed to ask for them to increase our listenership. Great to have you with me tonight. As I mentioned, that was the voice of Conrad Krieger. He is sitting in for himself tonight, running the board throughout the show. How are you doing tonight, Kay?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Doing well. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a fun weekend, yeah. Mainly watching basketball.
Yeah?
Had a couple drinks here and there.
Couple drinks? Just two? That's not too bad. What did you think of the Badgers? Like, I thought they kind of fell apart, but was that fatigue or just, I don't know.
It felt like a long tournament, you know, and I think they got to the point where they were at, and it didn't seem like either team wanted to win.
Boy, Michigan, the whole game, I thought the Badgers had it, you know.
Yeah, I did too.
It sure looked like it.
It fell apart. Well, our best scorer was 1 for 15, I believe, or something around like that, so yeah, that doesn't help.
What did he end up with, like 8? Maybe 10? Mostly free throws, though? Or
he had one field goal and all free throws.
Man, so. That's bad. I mean, they could have been gassed. They played more games, I think, than Michigan, but that's excuses. I mean, I don't look at their loss really as an impediment for the tournament. Like, I feel like they still have pretty good momentum.
They have a really good seed. I'm happy they got the 3.
What did Michigan end up getting? They also got a 3 seed?
They got a 3 seed, I believe, as well.
See, I knew that wasn't like, I had some friends that said, hey, we're heading to Indianapolis. My son was maybe going to go. Like, are you in? And I'm like, not for the Big Ten championship. I can't sit in a car for 7 hours or pay $500 for airfare. Like, and I would have been in flames if I had done that and they lost. But like, I would do that for the actual tournament, but not the Big Ten tournament.
So Michigan actually is a 5 seed.
So they got a lower seed than the Badgers, or a higher seed than the Badgers.
Yep.
Which tells you what people think about how Wisconsin did in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, it was an impressive run.
It was a really fun run to watch, and I hope we get to watch some more fun coming up on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, I have not looked at their bracket yet, though. Who are their big teams that they have to get through?
Duke.
Come on. God, every year. So Duke, annoying.
Duke every year. Yeah, that's
just, ugh.
That's the tough one. And then, I mean, it's Arizona's in there. St. Mary's, Alabama. Yeah, they got a tough side.
You know, the worst thing about Duke, about them being seated in the same region as Duke, is that we're going to have to see those replays of 2015 and just, that like still hurts.
I think we can make a good run, though.
I think so, too. They seem like they're in a weird place, like where they're dangerous, certainly not favored, but they could do some damage and who knows what could happen, you know? I like their odds. So that's that. So that's what we did. I watched a film called Elevation that I'll talk about. And I know I'm going to ask you about your film, Electric State. But first, I have to say, you know, I've talked about on this show, I don't understand. Like, I have a poker app. Most people have avatars. You know, it's like Twitter. Nobody wants their real picture on there. And I was playing at a table with a guy. I'm amazed at people, real people that have a picture, sending a rose at the table, an emoji rose, to an avatar of an AI, basically animated woman picture, like they're hitting on an avatar. So I said at the table, the guy sends this woman, I guess, who knows what she or it or they were, could have been a bot, I don't know. But my comment was, hey, I was going to flirt with that avatar. And the guy erupted. He starts calling me all these inappropriate, politically incorrect names. I was just making a joke. I even put an LOL. Like, talk about having no sense of humor. Like, this guy was banking on getting somewhere with this avatar, and I ruined his day. I didn't mean to. I thought, you know, people would laugh, but oh my gosh. She had no personality, too, the avatar. Nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing with those avatars.
You just never know. Like, what do you think you're going to be registered at Bed Bath & Beyond in a month? Like, what are you doing? It's so bizarre to me. But even when you try to make light of it or be funny, nothing. Call me terrible names. And then I did my usual, you know, you're not even smart enough to offend me, pal. I'm like, all right, I got to stop. I'm arguing with, who knows? It could have been Putin. Playing poker at the table, for all I know. I don't want to mix it up with those guys. All right, so Badgers are a 3 seed. I got my poker story out of the way. I did watch a film called, you know what? Let's do this. Let's cover this story first, because this is a big deal. Gene Hackman, over the weekend, or late last week, it was determined that his wife, Betsy Arakawa, died of the, I think it was called the hantavirus, a rare thing that you can get from, like, you know, rodents, I guess. And she died first. Gene Hackman died later because he couldn't take care of himself and he had Alzheimer's. So Hackman, over the course, one of my favorite actors of all time, over the course of his life, he accrued like $80 million to his estate, whatever, that they have to divvy up now. He left it to his wife. His wife, Betsy, left all her money to charity. But the fact that they died in the same within the same period means Hackman has no one to leave his money to. Where I'm going with this is his 3 children, all middle-aged now, 60s and 50s, because he was 95, were left out of his will. They don't even get a sniff of his estate. However, since she is deceased, there was no one listed in the will as a secondary beneficiary. So the kids are ultimately going to get the money, it sounds like. Now, it's weird because I've read a lot of articles about Gene Hackman over the last week or a couple weeks, I guess, since he passed away. Again, loved him as an actor, but he admitted in some of the articles he was not a very good father. He was gone for months and months at a time and didn't have the relationship with his kids that he thought was appropriate. He admits he was kind of an absentee father. Wouldn't that make you more inclined to leave them to buy their love with some money at the end of your life? Like, you got $80 million. Let's say you take $20 million and leave it to the kids. 10. Give them each a mil. I don't know. I think that was strange. And I have to say, It knocked him down a couple pegs, in my opinion. And that leads us to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Does Gene Hackman, not leaving any of his $80 million to his kids, change your opinion of the legendary actor? Now, I get it. We don't know the whole story. I'm just saying on paper, it doesn't look good, especially when he admits he wasn't really around for his kids. They weren't in touch. Maybe if they were, his life could have been saved. Who knows? But I have to admit, and I'm whatever, I don't know. You know, there's many sides to every story, at least two or five in this case with his kids. So I don't know what the issue is between them. But I have to say, it kind of changed my opinion. Not of his acting, certainly. Maybe he was still a good guy. But does Gene Hackman not leaving any of his $80 million to his kids change your opinion of the legendary actor? That is tonight's question. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and we will read your text on the radio. Love to hear from you guys. Always more fun when you guys participate. You can also text us on the stream or on the app. It's all good. Just get a hold of us. It'd be great to hear what you guys think. Am I overthinking this? Am I being too hard on them? I don't know. We have a really good show tonight. Todd Michaels is here. We're going to talk about a new documentary about aliens, and it's going to be fun. It's called, where is it? I have it written down. I can't remember. Oh, The Age of Disclosure, and it's a documentary that claims that aliens are among us, and they talked to 34 people. The director, Dan Farrow, talked to 34 people who claim aliens have been found. They are among us. We'll talk to Todd about that. Todd Todd produces Mino and the Mayor here at WGBW and WISS. Such a phenomenal producer. And he is also a paranormal investigator in his free time. So I'm anxious. Todd's like the first person I thought about when I saw this article. And I have so many questions. I don't expect Todd to be able to answer them all, but we'll have a discussion. You guys can weigh in on that, certainly. Phone lines are always open, 855-752-4842. And then, this is exciting. In the second hour at 7:35 from Flick's Brewhouse, Dave Hansen will join the show. He is the brewmaster at Flick's, and he reached out to me about a month ago and said, hey, we'd like to do this Nightlight-inspired beer. What do you think? I played hard to get. He kept texting. I couldn't get rid of him. I said, sure. That's not how it happened. I said immediately, yes, Dave, I'm here. How can I help? What can we do? Love the idea of a Nightlight-inspired beer. So Dave is working on that right now. I was in Madison last week, poured in the hops. We took some pictures. I think they're on our social media here at Civic Media or WGBW. But Dave's a great guy. He's going to talk to us about his job as a brewmaster. We'll talk a little bit about the Nightlight beer. And that will be a fun conversation, too. Conrad, do you have beer questions? You're a beer guy. I mean, what goes into making it? Dave can answer all those questions.
Of course. Yeah, that's a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Write him out, buddy. I'm sure he'll want to answer your questions and mine as well. So that's your show. Great to have you here, folks. It's Monday. We made it. We made it through the weekend. We're back on the air and we can talk about really fun stuff. And we will do that for the next just under a couple hours here. So thanks for being with me. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. When we come back, happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. We'll celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a clip from The Simpsons, as only The Simpsons can do. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that one.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that one.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
So much to be happy about tonight, folks. It is St. Patrick's Day. How did I almost, like, I grew up celebrating St. Patrick's Day, even sometimes having corned beef and cabbage. I'm primarily Irish, and I forgot to mention St. Patrick's Day till right before the break. You know what happens is I put it on the sheet, and then I kept adding stuff, and it got bumped down and down. And honestly, St. Patrick's Day is fun, but, like, I care less about ethnicity as I get older. I don't care what someone's ethnic background is. That doesn't mean we shouldn't celebrate them, but let's celebrate all of them. I remember two friends of mine in college almost coming to blows over. My friend who was Irish was bragging about St. Patrick's Day, and my friend who was Italian didn't like that. And my friend that was Irish kept saying, well, you're just jealous you don't have a day. And he says, yeah, we do. We have St. Joseph's Day, which none of us had even heard of. So we laughed at him, and they almost came to blows. And I thought, this is kind of silly. Like, what's your bad? Are you German?
I'm German. So what do and you celebrate? Irish, though.
And Irish?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you celebrate any kind of German?
No.
Break out the potato salad or something at some point?
There's definitely, whenever I go visit some, like, my grandma, there's German stuff there. So
there's German stuff there. I can tell you're really tied into it.
Definitely really tied into it.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We have a little, this is how I like to celebrate St. Patrick's. Every St. Patrick's Day, every year, this is one of my favorite Simpsons sort of sequences regarding this holiday, and we'll play this for you now. This is Bart, and there's a lot of fighting going on because it's St. Patrick's Day, and they're making fun of alcohol and fighting, and this is The Simpsons.
Oh, it's been St. Patrick's Day for hours, and I'm still not drunk yet. Oh, it's never going to be 9 o'clock. Oh, Mo, thank God you're here. We'd like to come in and drink, please.
We kicked down the back door, but then it was a metal door.
Yeah, all right. Listen up. This is the busiest drinking day of the year. Where are the designated drivers? Beat it. I got no room for cheapskates.
Top of the morning to ye on this gray, drizzly afternoon. Kent O. Brockman, live on Main Street, where today everyone is a little bit Irish, except, of course, for the gays and the Italians.
All right, then, move along.
Nothing to see here.
Cross over, folks.
Parades just bring out so many emotions in me. Joy, excitement, looking.
Mom, can I go buy one of those long plastic horns?
Oh, Bart, we've bought those before, and you always just throw them out the car window on the ride home.
I get bored with them. But that won't happen this time.
Beep, beep, coming through. Hey, Notre Dame, move it or lose it. Will the owner of the great big butt please move it out of my face?
Climate, man, all right.
Hey, Mom, on TV.
Hey, where?
is that weather chick?
This is some wicked patty, eh?
Hey, have you seen Sully?
Get away from there. Hey, I need a pencil. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're seeing is a total disregard for the things St. Patrick's Day stands for. All this drinking, violence, destruction of property. Are these the things we think of when we think of the Irish?
Oh, that's The Simpsons. And the explosion you heard was a bunch of Irish guys throwing some type of bomb at a fish and chips place. Like that was all happening in Springfield. Funny stuff. Love it. Happy St. Patrick's, though. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you celebrating today. Be careful out there. Be safe and party responsibly. Our question of the night, folks. I like this question because I'm going on pure emotion, but after I read this article about Gene Hackman, it just got me thinking. And one of my all-time favorite actors left his kids out of his will. Turns out they will get the money because his wife died within like a week of him, and there was no secondary beneficiary on the will. So our question of the night is, does Gene Hackman not leaving any of his $80 million fortune to his kids change your opinion of the legendary actor? It did for me. Without knowing any of the facts, just on paper, my initial reaction was I kind of thought, especially after he admitted to being kind of a deadbeat dad, not deadbeat dad, that's the wrong term, absentee father, let's say, and admitted that he was gone for months at a time, I kind of was like, I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't leave that to your kids, but maybe something else has worked out. Again, I have no info on this, but I'm going off my gut, and it did knock him down a little bit, in my opinion. Conrad, what do you think?
I mean, I haven't really seen a bunch of his stuff, so I don't know if I'm the right guy to form an opinion on this, because I don't know too much about him and his
life.
You're
the perfect guy to chime in. You don't have to see his movies. Like,
I don't know too much about him. I never really thought of one of my favorite actors either, so. Okay. But I mean, I guess it's like we don't know what went on behind the scenes either.
Right.
So maybe he did that for a reason, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Kind of a big oversight, I would imagine. 80 million big ones. Let's go to the text line. Paula from the 920. Conrad's mom says, I have not changed my opinion of Gene Hackman because we do not know the dynamics of the family. You're right, Paula. We do know a little bit, though, because he has not talked to his kids and they were not around. So there are definitely, I would assume, some pretty hurt feelings there. One way or the other, either the kids towards Gene towards the kids, who knows? Steve in Milwaukee says, that surprises me. I think it does knock Hackman down a couple notches. He was a great actor, but apparently not a family man. That's kind of my impression as well, Steve. Thank you for the text. Monica from Mount Horeb says, I don't have enough info. I mean, maybe he already gave them millions, bought them houses, had trusts in their names, etc. That's what I was thinking too. Like maybe at some point they did get a lot of money from him or some sort of assistance. I don't know. Maybe his kids are independently wealthy. I'm not trying to be a bad guy here. I'm just saying on paper, kind of a bad look. AJ from the 608 says, hey, Pete and Conrad, I personally believe that it's none of our business what people decide to leave to their kids, etc. But I assume his children will be okay. That is a mighty big assumption, AJ. But yeah, I can live with that. Steve from Milwaukee says, and I just watched The Runaway Jury last night, kind of relevant to today. I saw that, Steve, and I don't even remember. I'll have to give that a rewatch. I know it's a John Grisham, and I'm sure Hackman was great in it. But great text. Keep them coming, folks. Great to have you with me. When we come back, we're talking aliens with paranormal investigator Todd Michaels. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. Phoning her at least 10 times a day. You know, it's so unusual.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction Dr. Jill Underley and her challenger Brittany Kinzer will both participate in a candidate forum this week ahead of the April 1st election. The virtual forum will be held online from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday and could be the only live forum to feature both candidates for the position. A link to the live forum is available online and a full recording will be available afterwards. The forum will be moderated by Dr. Kevin Lawrence Henry Jr., an associate professor from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding families and teachers to keep an eye on the mental health of their kids and students as they return from spring break. According to health officials, self-harm incidents with kids between the ages of 10 and 19 tend to increase following a return from a long school break or during transition periods. They're reminding families and teachers to look out for signs that kids and students may be struggling with their mental health. They're also reminding residents about the 988 Mental Health Crisis Hotline. Dunn County officials say the local food purchase assistance program has been canceled by the United States Department of Agriculture. They say the cancellation of the program will result in the loss of over $100,000 worth of fresh local produce, meat, and dairy. The program was also the primary resource for the Farmers Feed Dunn County program. County officials are asking community members to step up to fill in the gaps by sharing food from their own gardens, buying food from local farms, and donating to Stepping Stones. The Rice Lake City Council plans to rezone the National Guard Armory building property as they consider purchasing the site. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs is selling the building and offered the city and Barron County the right of first refusal. The property has been appraised at $550,000, and city officials are seeking potential partners for development or even holding a referendum vote to let residents decide if they should purchase it. The city council wants to rezone the property for commercial purposes. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new documentary says We Are Not Alone. The Age of Disclosure premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in early March and claims aliens are real and that the government has covered up their existence for the last 80 years. The doc claims non-human biological matter has been collected from spacecraft crash sites. Director Dan Farah interviewed 34 government officials who confirmed some type of extraterrestrial life, but the film does not offer a whole lot of actual proof other than talking heads. No confirmation as to whether or not people have actually been probed. As promised, I said I would report back when I finished the show Zero Day on Netflix. The six-parter starring Robert De Niro and Joan Allen explores what happens after a massive grid outage that kills over 3,000 Americans. Zero Day has some great moments, but ties everything up a little too neatly at the end. Having said that, De Niro is great. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A winter storm watch has been posted late Tuesday night through Wednesday for some heavy snowfall. For tonight, partly cloudy, 31. Tuesday, partly sunny, 55. Rain changing to snow Tuesday night and the winds increase, a low of 33. Heavy snow by Wednesday.
Currently 59 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who is hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
the 920 says, doesn't change my opinion of him, Gene Hackman, at this point, not knowing the rest of the story. Parentheses, Paul Harvey. At this point, maybe Mr. Hackman had already given his kids millions and maybe was thinking that his very young wife needed the $80 million to live off. Yeah, he's a giver, Steve, for sure. I think she could muscle through on $80 million. Keep those texts coming. Is your opinion gone down a little bit about Gene Hackman, knowing he didn't leave any of his $80 million fortune to his kids? They will ultimately get it anyway because his wife died within a week of him. Kind of a loophole there. But I got to say, it affected my opinion of him a little bit. Not as an actor, certainly. But we will read your texts. Keep sending them, please. Right now, I'm very excited. My next guest is always so much fun to talk to. He produces Mino and the Mayor here at WGBW every morning and at WISS. And he is also a paranormal investigator who does really fascinating work and is really fun to talk to about said work. Mino and the Mayor or paranormal investigating. Would you agree, Conrad?
No, yeah, definitely.
You know this guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's bring him on. Let's not waste any more time. This is getting ridiculous. Todd Michaels joins us now. Todd, how are you?
I'm well. Can I talk about Gene Hackman for a second?
I was going to ask you anyway, so please. And then we have to discuss your look because I love it.
Scary as hell.
Not at all.
I just think, listen, I think there's a lot of kids that grow up in the Hollywood thing. And this is not the first time that I've heard people with money, whether it's sports people or Hollywood people, that say their kids feel like they're entitled to all this money. And it's like, go out and get a job. And I feel as though he doesn't owe them anything. I really don't think so. And I think he probably was a crabby old man. But let's put it this way. His kids, he was dead for how long? His wife was dead for how long? And the kids never stopped by to see him. I mean, I had a dad with dementia. My mom was sick. And still as a family, we kind of kept in touch with them up until the end. So what is, I don't know. Do they really need the money? Get out of here.
What's going on with the Hackmans? Yeah. Not knowing anything, I just admit that on paper when I read this, I was kind of like, because he had admitted in other articles that he was an absentee father. He was not there.
Yeah.
And I think some people try to make up for that monetarily. But again, like some of the texters have been saying, maybe he gave the money earlier on, or maybe he's made sure they're, I don't know, maybe they're all independently wealthy. But it was just surprising to read that,
I didn't necessarily know that he was an absentee father or anything like that, but it wouldn't be the first one, wouldn't be the last one. So right. I just think he was a great actor. That's all I really care about.
I just hope my parents are listening to this segment because
you're expecting some cash.
Wink, wink, nod, all right. So Todd, we've got to address the elephant in the room, which is your new look, which is so great and so cool that you did this. You did a campaign for St. Baldrick's to help children fighting cancer, and you cut all your awesome beard, and you have good hair, and you just lost it all. You look good, man.
Well, I don't think so. It was very frightening when I first saw it because I have not been without a beard probably in 20 years, maybe 25 years. So it was kind of hard to look at. I've decided that it's all got to come back. But if I had to choose, if somebody said, okay, you have to either keep your head bald or you have to keep your face shaven, I would keep the bald head and bring the beard back totally. Because basically from the nose down, I'm hideous. And if you just look in my eyes, they're okay. You know what I'm saying? So,
boy, someone's done their fair share of navel gazing over the years. no, listen, I admit, when I saw you on Facebook yesterday, I went, yeesh. No, I didn't do that. I was like,
seriously.
No, but I didn't know at first. I didn't know it was you. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's Todd. Like, I was not expecting you to be handsome. I thought maybe why you had the beard and your look was because you were hiding something. But, you're a good looking guy. Conrad, help me out here. He's your boss. You can say it.
That's all Conrad had to do is laugh. That's fine. You just keep that laughter because you know what's really funny on my desktop right now is Conrad's review that I'm working on. So
you look very good, Todd. Let me mention that. Yeah.
I think a show of solidarity and shaving your head might be in order here, Conrad. I'll just tell you, Todd, every summer I used to shave my head like I would go quarter inch, not quite completely bald. And then I have another gig on TV, and they were like, please stop doing that. They're like, we can't force you. And my kids were like, Dad, you look like a psychopath. So well, I that was stopped.
The craziest thing was my dog didn't know who I was right away. Like oh, he wow. kind of cowered away a little bit. But I did raise money, and it's really for a good cause, and I can't wait till it all comes back.
So tell us about that. If people can still donate, where do they go, and how do they get more involved in St. Baldrick's?
I think you can go to stbaldricks.org. That'll give you all the details on it. You can still donate to my campaign. I will just say that John Mino and Jim Schmidt kind of talked me into this. They on the air, they did the whole, well, if Todd raises $500, he'll shave everything, right? Wow. I ended up raising about $1,300, so I'm really happy with that. And that's from listeners from the show. That's from friends on Facebook. But you can find me on Facebook, Todd Michaels Deering, and you can still donate to my cause if you'd like to.
It's great. I emptied.
And I know you did, Pete, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. I emptied one of my offshore accounts. It was the full $8 I sent it your way.
Just one of them.
No, it was my pleasure. I think if someone's willing to do that, you know, I think it's great. So good for you, and I hope it helps. You know, if enough people do it, it's certainly good. Although I've heard cancer research might be stopped, so I don't know, but I hope that's not true. Okay, so have you celebrated St. Pat's Day today, Todd? What did you do?
I literally have been working since this morning, so I didn't have a time. And green beer always affects my guts a little bit, so I try to avoid that anyway.
Like
so I really
dye?
Didn't do anything.
Like the dye?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, don't you think it does something to your guts?
I don't. Well, it must. I don't think I've ever had. I've never been a beer drinker, really. So I don't. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, there's no pressure or anything. But happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you.
And thank you. Conrad?
So that Simpsons clip we played before.
Yeah.
You remember when Moe's, he has the green dye in his hand and it has poisons written on it. It says green dye for beer. The new poison symbols.
Moe is the best. And that when Krusty says, open your yaps, boyos, he's just spraying beer into the crowd. It's gorgeous. All right. So Todd, let's get down. You know, I always read stuff, and I think of you immediately if it's along these lines. And when I saw this Age of Disclosure documentary that premiered at South by Southwest about 10 days ago, I immediately thought of you. And I don't think you and I have ever covered aliens, at least not in any kind of, you know, we might have touched on it. But
right.
Where do you stand, before we get into the documentary, where do you stand on the existence of aliens, and have you ever investigated anything along those lines?
Where I stand at it is I'm a firm believer that there's so many things that we just don't know about. We just can't comprehend as human beings. And it would not surprise me to find out that there are such things as aliens. I will say that I've never gone out to investigate something that was purportedly alien related. However, I do think that there is a good chance that what we have come to know as paranormal investigating of ghosts and spirits and energies could very well have a tie to aliens. Even things like a Sasquatch and Bigfoot. I mean, that there may be a whole different category of paranormal that we haven't even thought about. And maybe somehow they're all intertwined. I'm certainly open to that concept. And some of the stuff I've read lends itself to what the heck is going on. I mean, you and I have talked about the lights in Michigan, right? In Western Michigan back in the 90s. I mean, that is a story that to this day, when I still read about it or see more film on it or whatever, still creeps me out. And it's stories like that that make me say to myself, you know what? There's probably something to this.
Yeah, my issue with the alien, and I do remember you saying that last time, like maybe the Sasquatch thing, maybe they're not from Earth. Maybe they're from somewhere else and they come here and whatever. But I'm open to, as usual, I say this to you every time you're here. I have an open mind. This film is called, it's a documentary called The Age of Disclosure. They interviewed, the director, Dan Fair, interviewed 34 military and intelligence government officials who admit to the existence of what they call UAPs, or unexplained anomalous phenomena, a new term for UFOs, I guess.
Right. Yep.
So, but I think the big thing is that they're saying they exist, and it's a disinformation campaign by the government. What does the government have to lose by telling us aliens exist when a lot of people probably think they do anyway on some level?
My assumption on that is that it takes some control away from our government. I'm not a big conspiracy theory person. I'm just not. But no. I think, as we were just saying about paranormal, there's a lot of stuff we don't know. I think there's a lot of stuff in our government that we don't know about, that we can't necessarily put our finger on, and they like it that way just fine. And I worry about, I don't worry about it, but I think they probably worry about the effects of this getting out there. If they've been holding this information from us, let's say Roswell in 1947 in New Mexico actually happened. Let's say that somehow some evidence comes forward that that actually took place. How would we feel about our government at that point withholding that information for that long? And we might be getting to a point in our history as a country with everything going on politically right now where we may be more able to believe that they're withholding information on this than maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, 5 years ago. So I think it's a control thing, right? We probably believe that our government tries to control the information that we get and how we receive it. To me, that would just be something on the list of things that they want to control.
It's just, here's why I think it's strange, is because it's not like skin color or religion or gender. Like, you can't go, I think that guy's an alien, and I don't think it would cause mass hysteria. And I can't see Trump keeping a lid on that. If he could expose this and be the guy, I think he would release the information. I mean, unless some of the aliens were on Epstein's plane or something, then he'd probably keep it under wraps.
Well, either that or we've got aliens in government or something like that. You're right. I agree with you, though. I think that you're right. I think that he is the guy that if he wanted to throw things for a loop, that'd be a perfect thing to throw out there and just make things spiral out of control.
Make himself look like a swell guy, you know.
Absolutely.
So they say in the documentary, Todd, they say spacecrafts have been traveling here since the 40s and spying on us. I've read a couple books that were way above my head that says, you know, if people or aliens were going to travel here from other galaxies, nothing that we know technology-wise would make it through those galaxies. There would have to be wormholes or something that they get here, and they would most likely be tiny. And I don't know. Do you have a thought about that?
Well, I think I'm not speaking out of turn when I say that I think science has proven the ability to create or have wormholes. So I think that is, you know, it's not just something from Futurama, which is one of my favorite cartoons. But I think, first of all, why the 1940s? What happened in the 1940s where all of a sudden we as a planet were very interesting to aliens? I'm not sure exactly what that's about. But also, like, again, from what I'm hearing about this documentary or this movie or whatever, where's the proof? Are we seeing any proof in this thing, or is it just people talking about it? Because we can talk all night and make a bunch of stuff up, but where's the actual proof to this? And so far, I haven't seen anything ever that ever went, oh my God, that's an alien.
Well, and that's what the Hollywood Reporter's Daniel Feinberg dismissed the documentary as: a basic cable exploitation doc done up with a fancy gloss in which nothing is proven and thus nothing can be refuted. The credibility I guess they might have, I'll share that after the break, but there are two politicians on each side of the aisle that are kind of supporting this.
Okay.
So we could talk about that next. Vicky on the stream says, great discussion, guys. Thank you, Vicky. Great to have you with us. Please chime in. We'd love to hear your opinions. Todd Michaels is here, ladies and gentlemen. The new and improved. Well, the beard was pretty cool. I don't know if you're improved, but it's he looks good. Join us on the stream and check out Todd. He produces Mino and the Mayor, and he's a paranormal investigator. And we'll continue our discussion about aliens next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
in for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, this is Jenny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down the night shift.
All right, Todd is doing like kind of a Mr. Roboto thing on the stream. You couldn't have pulled that off with the beard. I just want to say that.
Well, that music that was that intro that came in was kind of reminded me like a German techno thing from Touch My Monkey. Remember from Saturday Night
Sprockets.
Live?
Sprockets. Welcome to Sprockets.
That's right. Now is the time we dance.
We dance. Oh, I forgot about that. That's so great. Todd Michaels is here, ladies and gentlemen. He produces Mino and the Mayor every day here at WGBW and WISS, and he's joining us tonight because he is also a paranormal investigator in his free time, and he's joining us to refute, discuss whatever a new documentary that premiered at South by Southwest last week that is insisting there is alien life and they are living among us right now. Dan Farah, the director of the Age of Disclosure, got 34 military and intelligence government officials to admit the existence of UAPs, or unexplained anomalous, am I saying that right? Anomalous phenomena, the new term for UFOs. So, Todd, where do I go with this? Where's the proof?
You said you mentioned that there were some political people on either side of the aisle. Who are they?
I got distracted because this proof question I want to get to. But yeah, Marco Rubio and Kristen Gillibrand from New York, a Republican and a Democrat, are in the film. They both talk. Gillibrand says it could be something being tested from overseas. She's more skeptical than Rubio, apparently. But again, I don't know that is anything either. Okay, yeah, they could be, but supposedly they've recorded these objects flying at 50,000 miles an hour, which we don't have anywhere on Earth, China, Russia. So that was interesting.
Again, my question is, you posed this question earlier, but why hide this from us? Why not just say, here's the situation? I think it was within the last couple of years, we had all those balloons flying over and, blah, blah, blah. And then we even had former presidents like Barack Obama saying, well, yes, there are UFOs and stuff like that. Or I think I remember something like that. Maybe it was a dream. I'm not going to lie to you. But again, like if this is really going on, where's the proof? And right now, like is, would it be so bad if there were aliens and they came and saved us and, you know, took care of cancer and all that right. kind of stuff? Would it be that bad? I don't think so.
Especially if the documentary suggests that they've been coming here since the 40s. It seems like the bad stuff would have happened by now. Like, they obviously like it here. Maybe they like going to ball games or a county fair. I don't know. But why hasn't anything terrible happened? I don't see what the deal is with hiding the proof, if there is any. We have a phone call, Todd. Can we take a call? Maybe a question for you, sir?
Sure.
All right. Conrad, who we got?
We got Cindy from Appleton.
Hey, Cindy from Appleton. How are you tonight, Cindy?
Good, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well.
Well, I totally, top of the evening to you, by the way. I believe in UFOs because I swear to God, I've seen several of them over my lifetime myself because we used to live out in the country. But
wow.
Like I said before on your show, no alien would stay on this planet because we are the most ignorant species anywhere. They wouldn't waste their time on us. So,
but what if it's warmer here, Cindy? I could put up with the, you know.
I'm sure that still wouldn't matter. We're just so ignorant. Like I said, we're destroying our own home.
Yeah.
What other species would come here and say, oh, this is a brilliant bunch of people. They're destroying their own planet.
I think that, Conrad, I think we have a new question of the night for tomorrow night. So we can. Cindy, thank you so much. Always so great to hear from you. All right. She makes a good point, Todd.
She does. And the other thing is maybe they're here to document our destruction of our own lifestyle and life and all that so that they can show other galaxies and other beings, hey, don't do this to yourself. This was really stupid. That's the only reason I can think that they're going to be here, or really old reruns of What's Happening and stuff like that that's still on pay-per-view or whatever.
You just said reruns, and rerun could be their favorite character. They could do the rerun dance. They're trying to perfect that. I don't know. Yeah, to me, it's like, you might be right. Look what these idiots are doing. Like, we've got a guy like Elon Musk who is so obsessed with going to Mars. And like I've seen in other discussions, we have a great planet. It can sustain life here. Why aren't we taking better care of this? So maybe there is something there. In this documentary, Todd, Luis Elizondo, a member of the government's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, was like their all-star guest. Even he doesn't offer proof. They just insist it's there. What's the point of making a film like that? Have you met any other paranormal investigators who have come close to having proof or have heard of actual proof?
Of aliens?
Yeah.
No, I've heard a lot of personal stories and stories from people that I genuinely believe and believe that they would never lie to me. So I've heard stories, but even in investigating ghosts and energies and stuff like that, we're still very skeptical of that, but we actually have more actual research and things that we can show and play and listen to and research that we can actually offer up to help prove the fact that there's something other than just humans on this earth or whatever energies and stuff like that. I have not seen anything to prove or disprove alien life on this planet.
That's very well said. Can we keep you through the news, Todd? I would love to ask you about Roswell.
Sure.
Is that good?
I know. Yeah, we can do that.
I know you got to get to bed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask Todd about Roswell after the break because we kind of dipped our toe in that last time. I think there's a lot of people that don't really entirely understand what happened at Roswell. I think, you know, there are movies like Independence Day where, you know, oh, they got an alien in a field. But I want to know what the hype is about. And if you could help us with that a little bit, that would be great. And
right.
then maybe a token favorite ghost story of yours we can cover, too, before we let you go.
You got it.
All right. Todd Michaels is here. We'll do all that after the news. Brewmaster at Flick's Brewhouse in Madison, Dave Hansen joins us to talk about the new Nightlight-inspired beer at 7:35. Stick around for that. That'll be fun, too. It's all happening here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Come on, Joe!
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire to do a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district, since Derek Van Orden appears to be a little shy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. that got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Despite a judge saying don't do it, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says the administration acted properly when the president invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to deport accused Venezuelan gang members.
All of the planes that were subject to the written order, the judge's written order, took off before the order was entered in the courtroom on Saturday.
The ACLU is challenging it. At least 42 people in 9 states are killed in weekend storms. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves says of one twister.
Oftentimes these tornadoes hit ground, bounce up, maybe they hit ground and do a lot of destroying and then go up into the atmosphere. This one was on the ground for 70 plus miles.
President Trump is expected to speak with his Russian counterpart tomorrow on ending the war in Ukraine.
We're going to have a very important call. You know, we've had calls, but we're getting down to a very critical stage. And we want to get the whole Russia-Ukraine thing done.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.